Shortly before my installation as the Bishop of Spokane in May of 2015, I was faced with a crucial decision. Father McNeice, the rector of Bishop White Seminary, was retiring, and I needed to appoint a successor. My experience as vocation director and seminary rector and working with especially Archbishop Niederauer taught me that the appointment of a rector for a seminary is one of the most important a bishop will make in his time serving God's people in a particular diocese. Obviously not a priest of this diocese, I did not know all the priests as well as I do today. And because the appointment was so important, it was suggested to me that I ask for names, suggestions from the priests as to who amongst their brothers they felt might have the qualities necessary to lead a college seminary, a crucial time in the development of a young man. And we are fortunate this morning and every Sunday to have seminarians from Bishop White serving our parish here at the cathedral, as well as St. Mary's, St. Anthony's, and St. Peter's. I polled the priests and was able then to get several names, and out of those names I chose Father Barnett, who continues in his seventh year as rector of Bishop White. After my decision, Father Connell repeated a comment made from one of the priests who said to him, "For all of my years as a priest, a bishop has never asked my opinion on anything until now, and I am glad." Again, I can't take credit for consulting the entire presbyterate, that is, the body of priests, because the suggestion was made by Father Connell. However, I'm grateful that all the priests had an opportunity to share their wisdom and advice, and the vast majority of them were well-intentioned. They obviously felt their voices had been heard when they were invited to make suggestions. It seems to me that is exactly what is behind Pope Francis's decision to initiate a worldwide consultation process entitled For a Synodal Church, Communion, Participation, and Mission. A synod is a gathering of laity and clergy to discuss particular issues under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. All of us, by virtue of our baptism, are called to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit as we go through life, with, as Peter writes in his letter, the goal of our faith is salvation. The Pope's goal of this worldwide synodal process is to give the entire people of God, and not just a few advisors, the opportunity to share insights, hopes, and dreams for Christ's church. The Holy See has published a handbook which will be used in the coming months as the faithful of Eastern Washington are given opportunities to share their hopes and dreams, their insights and opinions regarding the life of the church. It's interesting to note that the handbook contains a particular phrase that is repeated over and over again, and that phrase is the entire people of God. We read in this handbook, the entire people of God share a common dignity. The mission of the church requires the people, the entire people of God, be on a journey together, with each member playing his or her crucial role. And the church increasingly realizes that synodality is the path for the entire people of God. It's clear that Pope Francis wants this consultation to extend beyond the usual suspects, you might say. All too often, the loudest or most prominent voices in the church come from those who either are in leadership, diocesan bureaucrats, religious studies professors, parish employees, columnists for Catholic periodicals, and clerics. Now, all of those people are included in their input, and it is welcome. But my sense is we already know what they think. No, the entire church, the entire people of God, is asked to play a part. Now, you may have read about concern about the church in Germany. It seems that country has created a great deal of anxiety and fear in much of the church universal. there is common wisdom that their efforts at a synodal church may be rooted in the fact they fear the loss of the state tax, which funds tremendous charity programs. However, if one advocates change in fundamental teaching of the church to keep money, we all know that is not of God. The Holy Father wants to hear from the vast majority of the church. And maybe those are the voices that haven't been heard until now. I think in the 6 years I've been bishop, when I meet people after church, sometimes they quietly come up and they express some of their concerns that are heartfelt. A young woman from Chihuahua looking for comfort from the church after her diagnosis with breast cancer. The parents of a son who has same-sex attraction wondering how they can help him to live a life of chastity and happiness. The college student trying to live faith when professors or even peers ridicule the church, its teaching on marriage and sexuality, on hope and salvation. The young married couple, at times feeling nervous or ridiculed because of the practice of natural family planning. I think of the Vietnamese family at St. Anthony's, working hard, obeying the law, grateful for the blessings they enjoy in this country, and yet figuring and feeling some disdain from other citizens. Or the farm worker in Pasco, speaking a little bit of English and mainly Spanish with tears in his eyes, telling me about his son, a senior in high school who was an altar boy, who was in the youth group, and now tells him he doesn't believe in God because science is opposed to religion. The woman in this Pelham who has given her whole life of service to members of the Native American community and yet continues to see abuse, addiction, and profound sadness. Or the woman who comes up regretting her abortion when she was a teenager and wondering, can the Lord ever forgive her? There are many people we might call the average person in the pew, the bread and butter Catholic, who has an experience, who desires an encounter with God, and wants from the church hope and stability and truth. And yet at times they feel in our culture very much alone. Who listens to their voice? This is their opportunity. It is your opportunity. It's important to note that the success of this endeavor, I believe, rests on what we hear about in our gospel from Mark this morning. James and John, part of the elite three, along with Peter, but in this case today, James and John, sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder, came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus says, "What do you ask of me? What do you wish me to do for you?" And they answer, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." The virtue that these two apostles lacked was one that is very needed in our church and our society today: humility. You've often heard me speak about the French school of spirituality led by Cardinal Beru, who was a mentor for Francis de Sales and Vincent de Paul and John Hughes. Humility is truth. James and John were filled with focus on themselves. They had a sense of entitlement. To grow in holiness, we need humility and truth. And humility is needed in the highest levels of the church, in society, and especially in the institutions that call themselves Catholic. In order for us to listen to one another in this upcoming synodal process, quite frankly, we just need first to begin in humility. We do not have all the answers, but we need to listen to how the Holy Spirit may be calling us through other members of the body of Christ, especially those we would call the person in the pew, the bread and butter Catholic. My hope is that the experience of that priest I mentioned, who was consulted in an important seminary appointment, may be the experience for all of you. We entrust this entire synodal process to the prayers of Our Lady, who leads us always closer to her Son, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And we ask for the intercession of St. Vincent de Paul, a reformer of the Church who helped call the Church back to holiness and its purpose of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. You will be hearing more about this. I've asked Father Connell, as Vicar General, to help lead this process, and tomorrow we will be meeting with the deans throughout the diocese to explain this process. For us, it involves trust, humility, and deep prayer. And in that name, then, we pray. Our Lady of Lourdes, pray for us and live Jesus in our hearts forever.